It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Yes, here I am, and I apologize for ranting and raving last night. Just couldn't help myself. I just got a lot of passion about how important it is to have real values, not just fake ones, not just a facade of being nice. You know, a personality or persona, which is causes the soul or the character to degrade. See, if you have a problem, as we all do, the tendency is to put a nice face on it. Now, some people don't do that, and they get into a lot of trouble. They try to frighten people away, you know, with an angry look. But that doesn't solve the problem of stress. And the only way you're going to solve the problem of stress is with love. But then, yesterday I was telling you that love is not sex. Love affects everything in the positive. And real love is like a ghost that everybody talks about, but few have ever seen. We waste our time looking at the perfect lover instead of finding the perfect love. And we have enough religion to make us hate, but not enough to love one another. As Jonathan Swift has said that, I'm just quoting a few tidbits that my friend sent to me on my screen here. But I do want to help you. And this evening, I would like for you to understand, and at 1-800-866-8883, I would like to talk to people as much as possible. But I want to start off by saying quickly, and I see the calls are coming in. I'll just take the first 3 or 4 minutes just to, you know, set up the show. That once you have been stressed, I'm trying to find a word here. As I said, stress is temptation. And once you've been penetrated, you start to die. And in psychiatry, they spend a lot of time trying to dig out what the problem is that the victim tends to hide. Because it's very painful to see what stress has done to you or temptation has done to you. And the fact that you are stressed the very first time you get traumatized by some person who stresses you, betrays you, screams at you like maybe a dad or mom. The sin of Paradise Lost is transferred, as it was transferred to your father and mother, and so on, all the way back to, as far as the first parents. They're called Adam and Eve. Can't help it. Through one man's sin and death through sin, spread to the human race, and then you got the salvation bit. But then, where is the salvation? We got enough religion to make us hate, but not enough to love one another. The machinery is lost. People say, "Do you know Jesus?" They say, "Yeah, I'd like to know him." So they show me a book, and then it says, "You know all about Jesus, but I don't. I read about him, but I don't know where he is." So the machinery here, I want to give you some machinery. How do you find him? What does it mean to be still and know? That's what I want to talk about tonight. And so I'll take my calls here after a few minutes break here. We'll take Gil in a few minutes, and we're going to take William in Montana, I think it is. MT, is that on Montana? Oh, Michigan. It's an I. Okay, I'm sorry. My glasses don't see that well. Okay, so I'm going to talk to people tonight after this break. We've just got a minute left, I think. Isn't that right, Jose? Yes, so a minute left. So let me give you the phone number, and I'll take 2 calls right away. And then I want to talk to you gently and sweetly. I can do that. There are times when I have to be strong. You have to be strong with wife and kids, but not angry. The Bible says, be angry but sin not. How do you do that? Well, you're not angry. It's really not. See, in other words, you have to be strong and sin not. But it's not a good translation. But you can't be angry and not sin. I mean that. Anger is dangerous. When you're angry at being tempted by your children or anybody, you're being tempted by your own children to sin. And then you start to get sick, and they make the child sick too, because you force your will on your children, thinking you'll help them. And there we go, and no one ever recovers, ever, except the truth that makes you free.
Call Roy at 800-866-8883.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, let me also re-echo the phone number, 800-866-8883. Call me 9:12 midnight West Coast time, even though we're on the air for the most part from 10 to 1 in the morning West Coast time. But we take calls at 9, so I just want you to remember that. The first hour is played as the last hour. And that's how we have to work it, because I'm doing another shift with another network, so to speak. All right. Now we're going to take our first call, and the subject is meditation. Mindful meditation, but mine's different. Mine will take what I've learned. I'm 85 years old. Going on 86, and I spent my whole life searching for the truth and doing experiments like scientists do. I will tell you about that if you care to ask me about it, but I don't want to talk about that now. I just want to say I've discovered what it means to be still and know. That's very... The other word is be still and know and God, and there's another sentence after that. And I've forgotten it. The be still and know is where you find be still and know. And what is the kind of knowing? It isn't an intellectual thing. It's an intuitive, it's an aha experience. It's alive. My words, if it bring you to the aha experience, you can forget my words. I awaken you to where you were when you were a little child before you were violated by temptation or stress. Stress kills you. The minute you start to deal with stress, from a little child, especially when you're small, it starts to kill you right away. There is no salvation from it. Verses and chapters won't do it. It just talks about it. What I have is to show you in minutes, when you're ready, give power. And I'll show you only if you're ready. Can't give it to you unless you're ready. The thief on the cross kind of got ready. It took his whole life to say what he said. We deserve this. We have to be aware of what's wrong with us and not be afraid to admit it. That's one beginning. That's very, very difficult, because when we admit it, we think to ourselves, well, we admit it to some bartender or someone, then they have something on us. So we're going to talk about these things. There's a machinery, literally a way to within yourself, a place like you walk there. I can guide you there, if very simply. Only if you're willing to realize the truth, which is painful to your dark side. There's a part of you that doesn't want you to come to the light. It makes you feel that the light or your conscience is the enemy, and drugs and alcohol and all kinds of religious stuff is that it will make you free. No, it doesn't. You don't need any religion. Jesus says, in him, it's him at least, in him there's no Gentile or Jew, and suffer not little children to come unto me. No Gentile, Jew, or Greek, or anyone. This is a commonality of understanding that he brings. And then it's got forgotten. The scribes and Pharisees of modern times own everything. They're the authority. I want to get them out of the way right now. All right, let's take our first call. Gil in Arizona, he wants to talk about meditation, I suspect. Is that right, Gil?
It is, about the meditation.
Please do.
Okay, you know, when you say, you know, watch the pixels in your mind and thought will dissolve, I have three kinds of thoughts.
Actually, just let me slow you down just a bit. When you look at the pixels in your mind, you're not able to see the thoughts that are yet to dissolve. What you're doing is looking at the spiritual self, the other self, not your body, not your brain is a monkey brain, it's an animal.
Right.
Your body is animal.
Yes.
But what makes you human is the modifying influence of a detached consciousness that's not part of your body. And that's your objective. You're distinctly the objective from that. Otherwise, the car, your body is driving the driver, the soul. And stress pulls you down into the monkey brain and you can't function. You tend to function for what people think of you, and when things go wrong, you get more and more upset. Temptation keeps growing into disease and misery and suffering.
Right.
There's no cure for it.
Right.
There's no cure for it except what we're going to talk about.
Okay, can I take this a little further?
Now we can go further.
Okay. When you say you don't see the thoughts, to me that implies a visual.
No. Let's
hang on.
Go ahead.
Little tidbit, and then you can straighten it out.
Yes.
The thing is, you know, I have three kinds of thoughts. Either they're visual, or they're auditory, or they're feelings. You know, feelings I experience.
Yes, I got it.
And a lot of times, especially lately, I'll wake up in the middle of the night, like in a pool of sweat. And I close my eyes, and what I struggle with is the feelings inside my body that are really closer to, you know, an extreme anxiety.
Yes.
And so my point, what I'm asking about is I can dissociate myself from visual thoughts and auditory thoughts, but I can't dissociate myself from my body. I feel...
No, I don't ask you to do that. You're quite correct.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's what I think you're implying. So I'm asking, how do I make these anxious feelings dissolve?
Okay. You remember the order in which you spoke? Can you remember the first one? Give me the first one you said first.
What, the visuals?
Well, tell me, you started off by saying something... and you gave me three questions, and I don't remember them. I just want you to speak them again, and I'll address each one if you don't mind.
Basically, what I said was there's three thoughts. I break down my thoughts when I'm meditating.
Yeah.
I break down my thoughts into three types. There's the visual ones, like a picture. You know, you see something in your mind. There's the auditory ones.
No, let's take the first one. Take the first one, okay. And we'll get to the second one in a minute. You're a very good caller.
Okay, but let me just throw in is that the first two are not a problem for me. They seem to dissolve. It's the third one that's the big problem. It's the feelings within the body that creates this anxiety.
Got it.
Okay, so that's the problem I have.
Okay, so now let me start all over again from the beginning.
Okay.
So now let's look at the machinery.
Okay.
And the reason why I get you to look at your eyelids, you're really not so much looking at your eyelids, but it has a sort of distinct, it gives me a way to get you to be objective, because what you end up doing almost immediately when you start to see those little pixels moving across the screen of the mind, is what you have become, your soul or consciousness, instead of being entangled with your thought stuff, so you're confused, and you have, where you can't control your emotions, and you suffer the angst of anxiety. That's you're being down there. It does that. So stage one is that you close your eyes. I get you to look at your eyelids, and immediately several things happen at once. The soul has come up from the depths of the subconscious emotional feeling thinking self. See, it's all in there. It's all in there, is what you said. Immediately you're detached. And now, when you're detached like that, your consciousness is not connected to your body. It is connected, but it is in charge. If an orchestra, the leader of an orchestra falls into the bass drum, you know, you don't have good music. You don't want the soul to be lost down in all the music, all the machinery of your mind, which should be functioning as the result objective modification. Your objective, the soul, if it's separate, where you are sitting behind your eyes, you're a distinct you, and that you have a refuge behind your eyes, so that you've left your thoughts behind. The thoughts are still there. All the madness is still there. But you're not there. You are now looking at the surface of the brain, which is like looking at the moon. You see, in other words, you're on the moon, but you're looking at the moon. You're not part of the moon. So hold a second. Are we taking it so far? Have you got me this far? We're going to come back after a break.
Okay.
Okay. Have you got me so far?
I do, but I'm struggling with it.
Okay, go. I'm going to keep you on because you're a good caller, and you ask good questions, and you don't take no for an answer if you don't understand. I want you to keep pushing me. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I like that. All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we must make a break here. Call your friends. This is going to be a very interesting program. It'll be nice and gentle, but I'm going to help you to overcome all your problems. Starting with this evening, you call me, 800-866-8883.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
I just want you to know what's happening to all of talk radio. In other words, the edict has come from the White House, an edict. No, it's not spoken of. But there cannot be any conflict. There's got to be peace. You can't have any controversy. And so if talk shows hosts start to be controversial, controverting, I suppose, the administration, the advertising agencies put them on a no-buy list. That's how they are doing it. So you've got to be very, very careful. You're losing your freedom of speech. We're losing our freedom of speech. But I can speak the way I want because I don't have any sponsors. You can be my sponsor if you want to support my program. I don't have any. And the station, you know, they can have sponsors. But what it is, we're talking about the networks. And the little stations, all the stations, the big stations, run more efficiently when it's like Talk Radio Network or any other network, provide the software, which is the entertainment. However, so that's going to go away if we're not careful. I just want you to know that's going to happen, and that your freedom of speech is at stake. You can't have any controversy. And because then they won't, they put the station on a no-buy list, or the network on a no-buy list, and you can't sell commercials because it's sold by representatives. And we're fighting with those people right now. There's a big war going on. A big war going on, but you must know about it. Now, that's the reason why you need to get apps, iPhone, because there's always the danger that the monopolies, which are becoming monopolies, which the networks are fighting, could actually shut this program down by closing off the satellites. Satellites are everything in the network broadcasting. So you need to get an iPhone and Android and apps. Those are apps. And then if anything happens, it might not, but if anything happens, you can always find me. Go to FHU.com, click on iPhone app and Android app, and download and install, and live and live to all kinds of good stuff, and buy things whenever you want. All right, I'm Roy Masters. We continue.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-66-8883.
I'm talking to Gil a few minutes ago, and we're going to reconnect with him about meditation. And I like him because he's feisty and firm, and he wants to understand something. And if he doesn't understand it, he'll push me for it, and I encourage that. Now, where was I? Well, so far, what have you understood about what I said so far, and what haven't you understood?
Well, okay, what I've understood, I've been at this meditation business for quite a long time.
Yes.
And it's kind of like hand-to-hand combat, just to get a breakthrough.
Yes.
But I've realized that, and this is only recently, I've realized that the biggest problem I have with meditation are not visual and auditory thoughts.
Those yes, go away. That is correct.
Okay, but the biggest problem I have are the sensory thoughts, the physical sensations. Like, for example, when you were just talking and you said, like when you close your eyes, you're in a safe place.
And, sort of, yes.
And when you were saying that, I was saying, no, I'm not, because I could feel my solar plexus kind of anxious and pulling me down. And that's what I'm calling about, because I don't know how to disconnect from those anxious issues. So I can meditate for 45 minutes. I open my eyes, and it's still there. It
hasn't. Now, how about the tingling of your fingers?
No, the tingling occurs. You know, I can feel the heat.
Yeah.
You know, I can make the connection, but I got to tell you, and I've only become aware of this recently. It's basically the cornerstone of what I think is a stumbling block is
exactly
that the feeling. It's the sensories in the body that signal anxiety or that something's wrong.
But here it is.
Okay.
The first thing you see in when you start to meditate, if you do it correctly, looking for nothing. And what you really will be looking for in the background, in the very, very background from the day you were born, possibly you want to know what the meaning of life is and you want to serve it. It has to have that quality, but we're not looking for you to think that right this minute. It's only that proclivity that allows me to guide you to where you need to go. If you don't have that proclivity, it won't happen. I suspect you do have that completely, that ability, and that's why I speak with you. Now, here's the thing. If you meditate for not looking for anything, just sit quietly and not use the meditation as a means of making something happen. That is a huge mistake, because in the meditation I say don't look for any results of any kind. Eating and drinking. Don't look for anything. Just be still and know, as the good book says, be still and know I'm God. Meaning, God begins to, when you start to be objective in that, with your looking at your eyelids, you're actually taking a step back. But how can I say it? Relatively, I should say, you are stepping forward to Him who created you. That is a great mystery. And the whole idea then, if you are willing to face yourself, the truth, if you're looking for the truth, the first truth you see is your what your fault is. And what your fault is, some kind of sin, something you've done wrong, something you're angry about, something you're judgmental about, something you don't really want to talk about and hide. It will come to light. That's very important. You get a glimpse of it, but this time, with a glimpse of it, there's some magic that could connected to it, that you have a feel immediate relief that you see it. There's something about seeing your own fault that comes with a relief, not a cure yet, but with a relief. It's like that's the step one. Unless you can allow yourself to see it and not seek distraction, but in this state, in this journey I just described, which is a very tiny journey, you're coming to a state where the light will show you what your fault is, where you've been struggling with those faults, and as you struggle with every fault, you'll make yourself worse. You cannot save yourself. Only be still and know I am God thing can save you. And this is how it saves you. It shines the light on your fault. And then then the next stage, immediately within that framework, there's an intuitive knowing if you're on the path, as to not to struggle with that thought. Because you get in the way of God shining that light on that thought and fading it out, burning it out.
You know,
it's the light that burns it out.
It's interesting you should say that, because probably in the last month to month and a half, I've had a thought that just pops up that says, you've got a big blind spot in your life.
Yes, that's it. What is it?
I don't know. But
are you willing to see it, though? Question.
Well, yeah, because...
But then don't try to see it. No, you can actually be honest, I don't know what it is. And it's okay to know. It's okay not to know, because of yourself you can do nothing. You are lost in there, and you have to be shown it. And so it may not show up right away. It may not show up right away, but don't get frustrated that it doesn't show up. You can be sitting on the toilet and it will come to you.
Okay.
It will come to you as in its own way.
Right.
You've got to give it its own way.
I think I've been meditating for over 20 years.
Yes.
And this is only the first time in the last month and a half where I've got the blind spot thought.
Yes.
And I keep saying, well, what the hell is it then?
I can tell you what it is. What keeps you blind is an emotional problem you have with people, places, and things.
Well, yeah.
So you need to say, who am I judging? Who am I looking for fault in so I can judge them, kind of thing? What have I not forgiven? What am I holding back? What am I burying? It's an emotion. It's not,
of course,
never mind the thought. It's an emotion towards someone or something, but usually someone, and it ends up with some things.
Well, it's definitely, I can think of the someone, but when
Who
I,
is it?
It's my mom.
Okay, and how about your dad?
No, it's not my dad.
Well, it might be. Just give me an answer about that, if you don't mind.
No, it's not. It's not my dad.
So he's a good guy.
Yeah. Well, he was a weak, wimpy.
Yeah, but that's the reason why your mom got to you.
Right.
Your mom resented his weakness.
Well, whatever.
But, yeah.
You know, when you ask who am I judging, it's my mom. But my reaction to that is, that's ridiculous.
No, it's not. It's not really. It's not, because when you resent your mom, you bond to her in a very strange way. You begin to take our identity on, and you lose some of your manhood, and you have problems with women. But I don't know if you want to go there. I think you want to discuss the meditation. Let's give you another shot. Are you okay for another shot after the break?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Let's do it during the break. Because a lot of stations don't have commercials at this break. I'm going to go back to Gil in Arizona. Are you still there, Gil? We're going to do a 4-minute thing together.
Okay. All right.
Okay, let's use up this time for good purpose.
Okay.
Now, here it is. So, in this journey, you have to understand, you have to start off again, knowing that of yourself you could do nothing. Even Jesus, who was the great teacher, he would say, it's not me, don't look at me, I didn't do this. The Father within me, he doth all these things. Why call me good? There's no one good but him. He was just an agent of change. And so you got to get out of the way of that. Your ego has to get out of the way. That's why the detachment from your mental condition, your emotional mental condition, is important. Because the soul must be detached from the flesh, in a sense. Not completely separate, floating away or anything, but looking at it with the light shining through it. Because in the same moment that you are objective looking at those pixels, those little pixels of light is like programming from a computer. You can't read. Those are new thoughts. Those are new programs for your cells, living cells. You're supposed to live by the feelings that are coming into your fingers, those tingling feelings.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new form of energy. You're no longer an animal responding to pressures around you, because when you fall from grace, and you did when you were a little boy, everybody was born into it, so you can't help it. So, but the point is, it poisons you, and it entangles you, and it makes you think that it's you thinking, and it makes you think that you want things when you don't want to, and when you get into it, you can't get out of it, and so on and so forth, and you struggle, and the usual story. But the secret is that the minute you start to step back, your soul becomes a lens through which light comes, and those pixels are that they are refreshing or renewing you, and causing you to be able to see and understand. Oh, I see that. It doesn't matter what it is that you see, but you feel a joy when you see something that you've never seen before, especially a fault. And then all of a sudden, you see the tendency to rise. The dark side rises and says, "Get what you to fight with it." No. You just look at it, and it tends to soften. Now, what it does, in that moment, you are being forgiven. The beginning of forgiveness, the beginning of the new life is there. And so you hear me in my dialogue. I was saying, from now onwards, you will not be resentful. You're going to, because you've been, I don't say that in the dialogue, but what is implied without words is that a process has been set in motion whereby the sin, which is mostly emotional, so emotions produce, see, when you are reacting to the world, you're subject to the spirit of the world, and the way you are shaped, the way you are imprinted, also it substitute the how can I say it? I'm listening to the music, but I have to wait till back. I've got to say it. I can't say it in a short time. We'll be right back.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
I'm going to continue with the thought, and Gil's listening, and we just spoke in that 4 minutes, whether you heard or not. When you got penetrated as a child with your mom, your dad, whoever it is, it's the beginning of your dying. You start to grow, yeah, but you start to grow, you start to lose something as you grow. And you become less and less of a bright little child, and you become more intellectual, and you become more dependent on your emotions to guide you. And then you've got conflict. Because as long as... let me rephrase that. When you get penetrated, something, your spirit that is able to answer to God and modify your monkey behaviors, modify them so that you don't react anymore. You don't get upset anymore. You can't be penetrated anymore. So you could actually, you can't serve two masters. You can't be upset, and which makes you subject to the world, the spirit of this world, and bring forth the good at the same time. You can't have two masters. You can't react to the world and expect to bring forth the good and to become more perfect in your ways. Become perfect, not actually be perfect, but become a process, you see. So what we did to trying to get you to see is that you need to be saved from your condition. And you say you save yourself, it's not in your DNA. This process brings you to a state of rest, which means you rest assured that something good is happening. It moves you towards what we call faith. And the little pixels in your mind are giving you a new kind of energy, a new way of thinking, a new way of seeing things, which we call hope. And that's when you, and if it's done right, when you open your eyes, you have learned something about, sooner or later, you've learned about emotions, your feelings, and you'll find that the next person you meet, here's the key to your emotions and your anxiety and wake up in a sweat. When you've gone through this experience in the right way and not struggled and begin to want to see the truth and know there's something wrong with you, but you don't know what it is yet, it's perfectly okay. Something has happened to you because in the meditation, I actually speak a word. I said, from now onwards, you will not be upset with things and be angry with people. You will be able to deal with them calmly. And I'm only saying that because it enhances what I give words to what's supposed to happen and should happen without words. I'm just reinforcing that. And so, but that because that is the counter, that quality, it keeps you safe. It keeps you safe within the framework of a human being. And whereas you were slowly but surely reacting to things and struggling, and you were becoming, the unholy got in the place of the holy, is of the world, and it needs to be upset and be stimulated to function. Slowly but surely, the need for stimulation and being angry goes away. You are actually addicted to being upset. And so what you need is the ability, the resilience, the effortless resilience of dealing with pressure and stress. That's temptation. And the minute you succeed, the first time someone tries to upset you, your wife or anybody, and all of a sudden you see her mouth moving and you're listening to it, and you see her accusing you of something you didn't do, and all of a sudden, without any effort, it's not bothering you. That's the key. And if you keep that up, you rob the engine of your monkey brain. See, because every time you get upset, it reinforces your conflict with God. So that the emotions are now feeding the imposter, the unholy sitting in the place of the holy. It needs you to be upset to function, to think through you, to confuse you, to confound you. There's another self you have. Everybody has another self. Everybody. No exceptions. So the minute you do that, you rob it of its life form. And if you keep on forgiving people, letting people go, and the reason why you can do that is because you're being forgiven. And as being forgiven, you don't have any you're being washed clean slowly but surely and giving the power to prevent the next impaling of somebody's will upon you. The poison that people to try to... Everybody in this country, everybody in the world wherever you go, we're setting each other up to fail. Somebody gets upset, you turn around and you upset somebody else. You failed and you have to make somebody else to fail to get whatever you think is some perverse pleasure from it, some reinforcement. You usually live off each other's downfalls. You take pleasure in upsetting people, or you could take pleasure in excitement and music. All these things will go away. You can still enjoy music, but it doesn't give you a lift because you don't need any lifts, and you don't need a feeling. You don't have to feel 10 feet tall because you are 10 feet tall. You don't have to feel saved. You don't have to feel loved because you are. It's only when you haven't got love and you're not saved that you have to feel like you have to look to someone to love you and make you feel important, to give you a lift. That's all dangerous. It just lifts you further away from good. I hope I'm not talking too fast.
No, it's very, it's It's pretty. It seems almost ridiculously simple.
It is beautifully simple because one thing, being still, then God comes into you, and He does everything. He open your mouth and you speak differently. Your attitude is goes before you and neutralizes the wickedness about to assail you. Look, I'm going to go to another call. I do hope it was helpful. Thank you.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please. I talked to my office this morning. I said, how many downloads did you get on the Be Still and Know? You see, you could get Be Still and Know, pain, fear, and stress, what the military get. I've been giving it for the last several years, almost 500,000, through another organization, a military organization. I don't always send it directly. I used to. But I created an organization, and it runs on its own, and it distributes stuff, and helps the military to overcome their problems. Post-traumatic stress disorder is cured by soldiers all by themselves with a little CD. But I got something better. If you have an iPhone, you can download the Android apps and the iPhone apps, and you know what you get. You get me anytime you want to. You know what they do. If you have it, I don't have to explain it to you. And if you haven't got it, you need to get an iPhone or iPod or whatever you call it, or Android. Let me see. I was going to say something and I forgot. My wife says I've been saying I've been married 60 years. She told me, "Oh, what do you mean? You've been married 62 years?" But I tell you what, I could change the subject just a little bit because I want you to get. What my grandchildren use, all my family are beginning to see. I lived long enough to help resolve my own weaknesses and my wife's weaknesses in their formative years, and it's going wonderfully. As for a man to for a father to live long enough, and living long enough means I'm practicing what I'm preaching. I should have been dead long time ago. My mind made me well. But something made my mind well. So, because if you don't make your mind well, your problem is your mind, because you're influenced by the world and you don't have the spirit to modify it. To stand between heaven and hell, so to speak. I don't know if I said that very well, but if you go to now what I want to say. Now the music comes. I have downloads for the iPod. It's only $19.95. And you get everything you need, or you get the new Pure Stress device, which is like an iPhone. It's a little tiny credit card size computer with earphones and a charger. It really, really works. I go in your ear like a snake after a mongoose. A mongoose after a snake, and get that thing inside. Okay, we'll be right back.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
All right, we're going to go to Paul in Florida. Hello, Paul. What can I do for you? I had a very good call just now, and I hope Paul will be good too. What can I do for you?
Hey, Roy. Yeah, I called you to basically, I'm just challenging your notion that all of our unease comes from some hidden sin or fault. Or something like that, and there's some way we can meditate and move that along. The Bible says that we walk in the valley of the shadow of death.
Of course.
I assure you there are monsters out there. You know, some 10 to 15 years back, I called in because when I was...
I don't know what you're saying. You're trying to challenge me, but you're giving me a lecture. What is it you're saying?
Well, I'm not giving you a lecture. I'm just telling you...
But I just want you to challenge me, not tell me. Just be reasonable. What am I failing in?
Huh?
Where am I wrong? You have to challenge me. You have to challenge what I'm saying. To challenge me, you when you challenge me, you got to...
I'm challenging you. We walk, and there are monsters out there.
Well, I know that. You
around in the form of...
I know that. I know, but you did... Listen, you're just quoting scriptures. I get it. It's a Bible plunger. Look, cool your jets a minute. What I said to the gentleman just now is you deal with those demons and people. There's two kinds of sociopaths or psychopaths. There's two kinds of wicked people. One, you can't cure them. They're evil. Two, those ones are infected by that, so they got the behavior of wicked people, so you can't tell the difference. You must treat them both the same. You don't sort them out like God. In other words, your strength will enable you not to react to these people, because it's your temptation. If you react to temptation, you are separate from God. You must go through life never being tempted again. Otherwise, you will not make, you'll just die like everybody else. And so when this preacher say to you, when the Bible says, he says, and Jesus said it, if I can remember the words exactly, he says, become perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. This makes all the preachers cringe. But doesn't mean that you can't become perfect. Only Jesus is perfect, and you have to believe in him and you'll be all right. No, that's wrong. Become is a doing thing. It's a process. And you meet temptation. I'll read it. I got it in my book. We glory in tribulation, always knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Romans 3, 3:11. Okay. So now, I don't think I can talk to that. He's a Bible thumper. I don't like to deal with Bible thumpers. Did you understand what I said? You must be resilient to temptation, and it's the power within you, not in your genes, or not in your... I don't know what it is. I don't know, in your underwear. Sometimes they lose the words. But it's not in your DNA. It's a spiritual salvation. It gives you, it lives through you, just like when you were angry and hostile, the dark side lives through you and torments you and adds... And you become more and more subject, and you become more and more gross and disheveled. Okay, now get a pencil and paper. I want you to do something tomorrow. Because sometimes, I tell you what, if I use the word feel like, forgive me that, because I see the state of this country. If I am a very filthy, dirty person with very rude words, and a comedian or whatever it is, maybe you listen to me. A lot of people listen to bad people with filthy words, and listening to music with awful dialogues. What are they called? Not dialogues, but whatever they call them. Lyrics. Thank you very much. I appreciate lyrics. Filth. But people love it. The sicker you are, the more you suck that stuff up. And the sicker you are, even if you're religious, I'm telling you what, if you think you're a Christian and you're still getting upset, you're not a Christian. Then now you can challenge me. I say to you, you're just acting like it. If you have anything against someone, if you're resentful towards someone secretly, you're dying. You will die. You will have all kinds of illness, mental problems, emotional problems, physical problems, and, you know, altogether, so that it all comes at once. Heart problems, diabetes, you name it, anything. Every problem on earth is caused by the lack of one thing. Grace. But you come into the world, and you're born into it, and it invades you. Especially beginning with your parents. All my sons and daughters have... as well-meaning as they are, as smart and intelligent they are, have their faults, and the kids had to suffer from that, but not serious. It's just the things that she or he couldn't see, and had to sort of suffer a little bit from that. But I was all been able to help them to understand these things. And the children too. Especially the kids love what I say. I actually help the kids to help their get their parents see what they're doing wrong. So actually my grandchildren can help their own parents. And their parents are welcome to see it, welcome it. And happy to. It's a bit happy thing. Look, support my program. Support it. Go to my website and download those apps. Those Android apps, the iPhone apps, or just buy the Cure Stress device. When I said, sometimes I feel when there's not much people, many people responding to this, it's not like it was when I first started. If something's wrong with the country, you don't want to hear it. I get that.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Okay, now, Tim in New York. Hello, Tim. Go ahead with your question.
Hello, Roy. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
I just wanted to ask you, I got two questions for you. First of all, I have a question before we hang up. I wanted to go over the medication. I'm having a problem with it.
Okay.
But first, I wanted to talk to you about a problem having with my wife, and she had asked for a divorce. And I had started to be more assertive in our relationship, and no sooner did I just start to be a little bit more assertive one day when she was berating my son, and I told her, enough already, stop it, because it was just going on too long. And then I come home a couple hours later after taking my kids to soccer, and she's standing there with a steak knife. And she was telling me that she was going to put it to my throat if I ever did that, something like that.
Put it on her. And no, listen to this. Listen to me. This
is for a couple of days, and it was taken off. And now she's back in the house. And anyway, when she tells the story, though, she kind of leaves that part of the story
out.
Oh,
of course.
If like that never happened.
You're going to be like the bad guy.
Tell everybody the stories about what happened, and nobody wants to come to the house because they're all afraid. I'm going to do something to them. I was like,
That's what the Obama people are going to do to people like me. First of all, they defame you, then they kill you. See, they destroy you. That's how they destroy you, by defaming you. Then people turn to, and then they got the support. And then you've got the sort of immoral support. And then you can do what you like to that person. And everybody will feel like they've killed the devil.
Very difficult for me. But
the trouble with you, the trouble with you...
And I'm very torn as to what to do.
Listen, what you need to do is not get upset. You have to, this is a hard thing to do. You're not strong enough. I can see that you're not strong enough yet. You've got to find the strength that when she starts to talk to that kid, that you stand between her and the kid, but without emotion. If you have emotion, you'll feed her. You'll actually encourage, you'll make her worse towards the child when you're not there. She'll hate you, and she'll hate you for being mean, but she'll also hate you for being strong. But the better of the two is to be without anger. Just stand there, say, enough already. Son, stand behind me. You can't talk to my son. And then you pull take your son away, leave her, don't wait for her to run out, just say, let's go into another room. And you talk to your son and say, look, your mother's not well. I'm going to show you. You see, Dad didn't get angry with her, right? There's something in your mom that wants to make you angry. Do you think you cannot be angry with your mom? You can talk to a little boy this way. He will understand you without meditation. He's so close to the vine, he's closer than you are. And then you need to go to the, quietly, go for a walk, get in your car, knock on doors, and say, hello, this is me. And the boy's there. We just want to tell you something. My wife is a disturbed woman, and please, please, just stay away, out of our business, because you see, everything's fine. Isn't that right, Johnny? See? And he says, yes, Dad. And he sees every, and so people don't want to get involved with that. So when you have a gentleman, you know, and say, you can phone them or you can talk to them. I always say it's best in person. It's best, but phone's okay too. I used to say it when my wife used to, you know, throw a fit and want to go to call their friends. I know that those friends, she will tell stories that are not true, and those friends will believe it, and that will make her worse, so I won't be able to handle her after that. So I go after the friends. I go after them and say, stay out of my marriage. I say it gently first, and if I see any hesitation, I say, you don't want to mess with me.
Uh-huh.
And so, but it's the way you do it. It's all the way you do it. So I actually isolated my wife from those kinds of people and kept her unto myself. My friends are hers. I don't allow any unless they are kind of decent people and don't believe all the stuff. If I see she's looking for approval from somebody, I eliminate them in a manner of speaking. That's how I've kept my marriage together. It would have been broken up a long time ago.
Right.
I can remember one time. I can remember one time when she said, "I'm going to divorce you," and we had four kids. Have my kids brought up by somebody else? I guarantee you that. Not on your life. So I said, "You do that," and years will go by, and one day you wake up and there's nobody there, not even me. They'll all come with me. And now, that is something I'm really willing to do, but because I'm actually really willing to do it, she believes me and changes her mind. Now, you may not be able to do, you may not get away with that. Because I had really not, deep down inside, I wanted it to happen, but I had to make it real. And it had to be real, even though I didn't want the outcome of real. See, but never mind, I had to do it because that's what really works. But you've got to be good at what you do as I am good at what I do. I can change the future of everybody here if they listen. All right, because it changed my future. 62-year marriage and I got 17 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren. All right, listen, gentlemen, you have to be men. Women are difficult. Women are bossy. Women are seductive. And as soon as you learn that marriage isn't about your feelings, it's about how you stand up to your wife in a good way. Not tonight, Josephine. I'll take your sex away. No, you keep your sex attitude. See that? That's the attitude, so attitude. It's just like a nonchalant way. And you're not... And there's something magical about that. She's trying you, and if you're not tempted, because if she can tempt you, then she suspects that other women can tempt you. If you fall to her, then she doesn't trust you with anybody else. But if she tempts you, and you're not found wanting, she feels relieved. She can't have you, she can't own you, she can't manipulate you. There's consequences. It's that moment where you cannot be tempted, the adversary is buffed, or in contradistinction to that, they respect you. I said, I've never met a person like you. You're the man I wanted. In her heart, that will be the man she'd been looking for. She's tested you and you've not found wanting. Because women do that. They have something in that has to try a man to be relieved of paradise lost. The inheritance of paradise lost. That's what's wrong with the women. My name is Roy Masters. Go to my website. You know, the Android and the apps. You get the Android apps and the iPhone apps.